the most.
7:07 on K-Man's Morning News. Once again, joined by Brandon Peebles, who has a special guest on with him this morning.
Yeah, we thought here with the governor delivering her final State of the State address, we would get some local perspective on that this morning. And we're standing by on the phone today. We have State Representative Sidney Carlin joining us here from Manhattan. Representative Carlin, good to talk to you this morning.
Good to talk to you this morning. Yes. What'd you do to the weather? My goodness.
I don't know. It's been wild. We've been pretty warm, and then all of a sudden it's kind of chilly this morning.
It sounds like it's going to get worse.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's January, so I guess it's comes with the territory, right?
It's very good. Yes, it does. It's time for winter.
Yeah.
We'll be all right.
Yeah, and you know, well, and I know this is a busy time for you. It's traditionally, as you get ready for January, this is time to go back to Topeka. And I imagine you were sitting in the rotunda last night hearing the governor's final State of the State speech. A little bittersweet. I know you're good friends with the governor. And what did you hear last night that gave you room for some optimism here going forward?
Well, the governor continues to encourage us by letting us know how important it is to work together. And the bipartisanship was stressed throughout her talk. And really, we have done some really good things. And on the other hand, she's been at the other end of not bipartisanship, but she continues her optimism and encouraging us to use our own free will when we are representing our people. She did it very well. It was very, very good. She reminded us about all the bills that we had passed that we had agreed on, and there were like 587 that she has signed. She said since she's been in office that were bipartisan, that we all supported, and that's good for our state.
Certainly is, you know, when you see that much bipartisanship is taking place here. Now, there is still a lot of division in our politics, as you well know, and it trickles down to the state level as well. And how challenging does that make getting things done, like the real important issues here that you want to tackle here in 2026?
Well, I've had a really good response from our chairman, both in the Senate and the House, about the bill I'm carrying this year, and very pleased that we're expecting to get a hearing very soon to move my bill along. That is a representative of some women in Manhattan that have asked me to carry a bill for them. So I was just very happy that yesterday I was able to talk to both chairmen, brought Senator Titus and Senator Starnes, and bringing the other representatives along too for a community bill that we are doing, and it's really felt good to me to have that good response early. It is an election year. Maybe we won't have so much division. This morning we are going to hear a bill that I'm going to be very unhappy about, but that's going to happen throughout the year, I'm sure.
Yeah, the bill that you're talking about, that you're alluding to, if I'm not mistaken, is the sexual abuse bill here, is that correct?
Yes, and it's about sentencing guidelines and what the judges are allowed to do. Nothing was done that wasn't legal, but we'd like to change some of the things that a judge can do when there's been a conviction.
I see. One thing that was touted last night, and I'm curious to hear, it sounds like there's a lot of support for this, is, and Manhattan's already passed a bill here for the USD 383 school district, and that's the cell phone ban in schools. Your thoughts on that, and where we go going into the future on that?
As a person that works with my cell phone constantly, all year, all day, all evening, I understand how intrusive it can be in your life and how upsetting it can be when you hear things on the cell phone and everything else is going fine that day. And I don't know, because I did not listen to the school board's discussion on that in Manhattan, but I know that we have a new rule that they cannot have their phones at school. I'm not sure the details on that one or I'm not sure how the details will come out on the cell phone bill that's being discussed. A lot of changes can happen once a bill is written, too, as well. But I think the children need to leave their phones either at home or in their backpacks. It should not be on their desk. They shouldn't be getting answers from Google, but I don't know that that's the problem. I think the disruption of their life, when someone interferes with their learning process by sending them a text or a message, whether it's upsetting or happy, you know, it's a distraction from the ability to teach and learn, I think. So I will support it because my school district has already gone through the public process, and I know my community is supportive. I also have children in elementary school throughout the country. They don't have those bands in their schools, but I think their parents have kept them from having them at their desk. So I'm going to support it.
All right.
And I'm not sure that it's going to be easy. There are some people that really don't believe, and I am for local control, but because my school district has already controlled, done their local control, I'm free to do that. There may be other school districts that feel differently.
Fair enough. And the governor mentioned something else that I'm curious about, and I don't know how. I mean, it sounds great in theory. I just don't know how you pay for it. And that is, she says she's including funding in the budget to allow students currently on reduced price meals to move entirely to free meals to ease stress on the families. How would that be accomplished?
I haven't seen the numbers on that. I'm sorry. I do not know the answer to that. She does have funding that she can pull for things like that. And it'll have to be in the budget. But I have not seen her budget yet, so I can't tell you that. Oh. I know that last year she tried to get everybody to have a free lunch. And last year we had the money. So it didn't happen, though.
Yeah. There's always politics to deal with, right?
Well, yes. Whenever it comes to money, it gets very political very quickly.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got just a couple minutes here left with Cindy Carlin here, a state representative. Again, this is going to be the governor's final year here in office, and you mentioned it's an election year. Any other things that you're looking forward to as you get back into Topeka for this session?
Well, it's been a good start. You know, people have been very civil, very friendly, very nice, and it feels good. There were years where we came in and people were angry at the start and stayed angry all year. So that feels good. We do have a lot to do with education, and we're trying to get more money for special ed. And we already have added $120 million for special ed in the last couple years, which is very good. But, you know, we need to be doing enough to make sure those folks have an opportunity to learn at their ability. I think we're working to create a budget for water. She's going to try to get a water budget that's something like the highway plan that gives us a 10-year plan for water budgeting and goals. And I think that is a really good idea because I know as we map out highways and do a 10-year plan and how much we're going to spend and where the money's going to go, it makes things move along very smoothly, and I think that's a really good idea to create the. We have a capital plan at the city, you know, and we know what we're going to spend on what. I think this is a good idea, so I'm glad that she's pulled that one out. And mental health continues to be one of her priorities and one of ours. It has been amazing what we've been able to do with mental health, but we hope that things like the cell phone bill might help to prevent mental health issues in children. And that's one of the reasons for that. Just the stress of trying to do things and being interrupted and having bullying going on phones and that kind of thing. So I think she's doing a really good job of pulling things together for her last year. We are still debt-free. I did ask that question in a meeting this week. We still have no debt. We've built the KBI lab. We've built the new docking building, which is really amazing. And all of the debt that we owed has been paid. We still have $220 billion, or let's see, what is it? $2 billion in the rainy day fund. And when she came in, we did not have a rainy day fund. It was, we had written the legislation, but there was no money in it. So we are in good shape. She's leaving us in really good shape for the future. I'm disappointed I didn't hear her talk about what could we do about the Medicare and Medicaid issues and the SNAP issues, but I know that she's working on doing everything we can. There is a deadline. I wanted to mention this. I was almost going to call you about it for applying for Medicaid expansion and, I might be wrong on that, Affordable Care Act. If you need to go on the Affordable Care Act with your insurance this year, you need to apply by the 15th, and I believe that's tomorrow. So wanted to get that word out, and I think that's about it for me today, but I'm looking forward to another year and see what we can do for Kansas.
All right. Well, Representative Carlin, we appreciate it as always, and good luck, and we'll see where we go here in 2026.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you this morning.
You
have a good day.
You bet. Thank you so much. Again, Representative Carlin joining us here on News Radio KMAN.